Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Well, we've been ministering on the subject of praise and worship, and as a foundational scripture, that scripture is found in John, the 4th chapter, verses 19 through 24, where basically Jesus said, "They that worship the Father must worship Him in spirit and in truth." And of course, that spirit man, it refers in whatever we do, whether we're expressing it in a physical way through our body, through our emotions, the soul, that the spirit is involved in worship, the very heart of man. It's the inner man. It's the total being of a man. And that's what, it has to be wholehearted. Our heart has to be in it. And that's what Jesus was saying. If you want to worship the Father, it's got to be in the spirit, but also in truth. It's not an outward show. It has to be truly what your heart is expressing. Without a vision, the people perish. And so that's why it's important. You may know all of these truths that I'll be sharing, but it's important to review them. And it's a very important part, I believe, of spiritual maturity in Christ that we will praise God according to the scriptural pattern. Maybe in your current situation, there may be certain logistical difficulties in praising some of the ways, such as, you know, being prostrate before the Lord, or kneeling, or dancing, or bowing. But God understands all that. This is just for an able-bodied person, how they should be able to express their heart to the Lord. And of course, it has a lot to do with age. God understands that. He's not unreasonable. Again, it's just about the heart. Praise God. So what I'd like to do now is look at some objections to scriptural worship that I'll be sharing by the unsaved and sometimes even many Christians. When you go to even a full gospel church, today, unfortunately, it's pretty programmed. You have got the worship leader or team. They are leading songs of worship. They may be beautiful. It's corporate singing. But there's very little in terms of the congregation expression. I mean, some don't even lift hands. I remember once I was in a service where a brother sitting in the last row, he was just leaning back in the straight back chair and he was at full length. He was like laying out, his legs were way out in front, and he had his arms crossed and that's his position during praise and worship. And it's like, oh my goodness, you know, you could sit very quietly with your head bowed. It shows us some degree of reverence. So it's not a time to be entertained, it's a time to enter in. And so why do we see a lack of true scriptural expressions of praise and worship in the churches? And of course, I'm not speaking about every church. There are some that really have understanding, and they're free in the Spirit, and they're rejoicing, and they're dancing, and they're lifting their hands, and doing the things that Scripture says to do. But one of the reasons is a teaching of man's traditions. In all but basically full gospel, not necessarily, but generally full gospel spirit-filled churches, the denominational group basically is taught just to be quiet or reverence. I know I was brought up in a denominational church, and what you did in church, unless it was just singing a song when the organist was playing, then basically you're very quiet, you really don't talk to one another, you're quiet or reverent. And of course, that's a very good thing, but that's as far as it goes. They don't know there's any other way to worship God. And so certainly this is an important factor we need to understand. we are reverent and quiet in relation to one another, but not necessarily as we learn the scriptures in our worship to God. We must definitely be reverent to the presence of God. Wherever two or three are gathered together, the Lord is there in the midst. So we must be reverent to the Holy Spirit. Jesus said he dwells in the midst of the praises of his people. If we really believe that, when we start praising God, if we believe Jesus is there, if we could physically see him, how do you suppose our services would be? Would there be any change, do you suppose? All right, having said that, let's see what the Word has to say. In Psalm 30 and 12, the Word says, "Thou hast turned my mourning into dancing." Why? "To the end," or the purpose, "that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent." Did you know that we don't, you know, I mean, there's a time to be quiet before the Lord, to listen to him, of course. I'm, you know, God's not unreasonable, but he's talking in a general way that in Scripture, silence is referred to as a sign of mourning, repentance, or judgment, and especially true of the heathen. What scriptures can I share with you regarding this? Psalm 31 and 17, "Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave." And another admonition is found in Zechariah 2:13, "Be silent, O flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Habakkuk 2:20 says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple, let all the earth keep silence before him." And then Amos 8:3, "And the songs of the temple," and this was visions of Israel's ruin, "shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord. They shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence." And Revelation 8:1, very important moment in heaven that is recorded in Revelation 8:1, "There was silence in heaven," and a very unusual thing, silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, were basically preparing to sound. So then, silence is associated with sorrow and judgment, as we've seen in just these few scriptures I've shared with you. So, in God's Word, we see that the norm of worship, according to what ancient Israel did, and even in Israel today, I mean, my goodness, they dance, they know how to praise God, that the congregational worship is very noisy, joyous. It's an occasion accompanied with singing and praising and shouting and dancing, lifting of the hands, musical instruments, making a joyful noise to the Lord. Now, we're talking about, why do people have an objections to this kind of scriptural praise? Well, to be honest, some, and perhaps immature in the Lord, are trying to worship God, but there's the fleshly excesses of man. Even as a young Christian, I could see where, when flesh was entering in. If someone is in the Spirit worshiping God with either dancing or however they're doing it, it will actually motivate us into deeper praise. It'll be a holy thing. And so in many instances of our walk with the Lord, it depends, of course, on the attitudes of the heart. And we've seen through Scripture, as you've read it, he danced before the Lord with all of his might. That was David when the ark was being brought in to the tabernacle of David in Jerusalem. And it's a beautiful form of worship, as he was doing it with all of his heart. And however, if a person does it merely to be seen of man or to attract attention to himself rather than to glorify God, it's fleshly. You know, look at me. See how spiritual I am? See how moved and filled with the Spirit I am? That they may not even be conscious, but when you can tell, if at least if you have discernment, you can know when something is really generated by the Spirit of God. And many people, sincere, well-meaning Christians, have been repelled by fleshly demonstrations, that which is done to excess, and they're not orchestrated by the Spirit of God. They cause confusion and upset. And of course, some people will get upset just with the scriptural expression of praise and worship. They would, you know, find problems with even lifting the hands. But to praise God using our bodies in any of the scriptural ways that we'll be looking at, it's not an open door, hear me, to unrestrained self-expression. No, we just don't go crazy. We don't. Everything that is done when God's people get together should be decently and in order. And the Holy Spirit is an exquisite gentleman. God is not the author of confusion. The Holy Spirit moves in one certain direction at a time, and not in six different ways simultaneously. There's not prophecy going on, prayer, dancing, and things like that all at the same time. And so the praise leader, worship leader, the musicians must be centered and sensitive to the Spirit's leading, as well as, of course, the congregation. And so as we grow in the Lord, there's a maturity that we can develop, but how can you judge, as I bring the broadcast to a close, I don't have much time left, if something's done by the Spirit? So we are to judge. Now, we're not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. We're to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. When some people just react when they hear that word judge. We're not to judge people or one another. Only God knows the heart, and that's God's jurisdiction alone. However, God has given discernment and wisdom to us to judge situations. There's a difference. Number one, true worship doesn't draw attention to the individual. It doesn't distract or detract from what God is doing. In fact, it enhances or adds to the move of the Holy Spirit. I remember years ago, there was a brother, we had just magnificent worship at the Oakland Airport Hilton, and a brother, all he would do, he would just, at an appropriate time, just let out a shout, and it kind of expressed everybody's heart. It moved the entire congregation. And also, it glorifies the Lord. It doesn't bring reproach. It brings blessing, not offense. Well, my time is gone. I must bring this broadcast to a close. We'll, you know, cover more ground. And again, it's just a great privilege to share these truths, because it will enrich our lives and it will bless the Lord when we can praise Him in a scriptural pattern. Why would He give those directions? Because that's how He wants us to worship Him. Thank you for joining me. The announcer will give our contact information. I love you, pray for you every day, and until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.